Yes, here I am, Maurice Cerrone, transmitting in the A. Henny Man's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. If you have any questions or ideas or things you'd like to share with us today about construction, tips for things around a home, whatever it may happen to be, give us a call here at 520-790-2040. We'll entertain your thoughts and discuss them from that standpoint. Those of you that visited the store or made a phone call to the store this past week and talked about various things of interest to you, I thank you very much for that opportunity to share experiences and to listen to what you have to say and the good suggestions that you may have. Our store in Tucson at A. Henny Man's Haven is located at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That place is a 6 blocks south of 22nd Street, the big yellow building on the west side of the street, just between 27th and 28th Streets. So come on down and see us between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Monday through Saturday, and we'll have somebody there to work with you as best as we can. There are times that we do get overloaded with the phones and everything else, but just be patient with us, and we'll address the issues that you may have. Again, our address is 1724 South 6th Avenue. In Green Valley, our location is on the north end of Green Valley off the Duval Mine Road exits. It's at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103. The hours of operation are from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Monday through Friday. They are closed Saturday and Sunday. We are closed through various holidays throughout the year, and the next day coming up that we are going to be closed will be Memorial Day. So from that standpoint, here we are to discuss various aspects of projects at A. Henny Man's Haven, which indicates to you our capability with our mill shop and our design. When we talk about cabinetry as an example, we do work with four different cabinet companies that are almost every day evolving and changing with various aspects. So from that being the case, one of the things that we are working at the present time is installing a superior styled mortise lock into a sliding door system. This happens to be a pocket door, but they can also be installed into sliding doors, which are sometimes called bypass doors. So there is it was a big article in one of the magazines I was reading this past week about the locking systems that are available, and they do give you an extremely professional operation of the pocket door or the bypass door system. We do use four-wheeled mounting roller systems on an aluminum track generally, or sometimes it is a steel track, but a metal track definitely, which gives you a much better operation of the door from years past. Pretty difficult, if not impossible, to dislodge the track. It seems, though, that many individuals have characteristics of always want to push or pull a door instead of maybe sliding a door. And as a result of that, with the old-fashioned roller systems, that if you push the door and it happens to be mounted in the opposite direction that you're pushing, then you are going to dislodge the entire door, and you're probably going to get very, very frustrated with the entire operation. So these trucks, as we call them, which are very similar to the 18-wheelers or the semi-trucks with the dual tires in the back with the guide rail driven right down through the center of the truck, it's almost an impossibility of dislodging it, and you may even force the entire system off the mounting itself and create a much more difficult problem. One of the other things that we work on quite regularly at the door or at the store, it seems, is putting glass in doors, which are specially typed glasses, whether they be a cabinet door or they be in household doors. I know we just completed a door system that was a what we call a solid core door, and the was a five-panel door. And the two top panels, the customer requested a special glass to be mounted in it. And so we did have to cut out the panel and develop a mounting system, as well as purchase the glass and install it to make it look extremely professional. And we have got positive feedback from the customer, who was very impressed with the door and how it looks. So keep that in mind. We can also do that in cabinet doors. So if you happen to have existing cabinets and you would like to have glass mounted in those cabinet doors, bring the doors down to the store. We'll share with you our selection of glass that we have available, and you can pick out the glass. We can price it out for you and then let you know what the charges would be to equip every one of your doors, cabinet doors, with glass. I see we do have a caller that's called in. Leah, you have a comment. Welcome to the Hammer Time Radio Show.
Well, great. Yes, Maurice, happy Sunday to you all. When you talked about old-fashioned way that things work, I went to Lowe's is the store, and I said, I love, I don't know, a husband who would think a wife would love. It's just like a date for me there. I said, I went in there, Maurice, and I'm just so simple to look at the old Roper washer and dryer, just so basic, and the old Frigidaire, and that's my type of way to roll. And I just said, for me, the old way of doing things, old school way, is just simple and best. And so I was so excited as I walked through that store. So I guess we can just be excited in the small things. So I so appreciate your show. And I like the old way of doing things myself.
Well, I appreciate that comment very much. And I think many of us would, because we like to work with our hands and be rather physically oriented with a lot of things. And to absorb some of this technology that we have out there, even though it can be good, I think it takes much more time involved to study and learn the basic formats. We have the same difficulty at the store in working with the computer-assisted programs we have and understanding. And when it comes right down to it, you have to get back to the basics like you just talked about. We have to understand how to put these things together, and most of that comes with experience, and it doesn't come with brain power. Did you have another comment, Leah? Okay, very well. I appreciate the comments very much. I actually cut my teeth many years ago when my mom and dad, when we came to Tucson, opened up a laundry with Maytag washers. They were Ringer washers, and we didn't have dryers back then. Well, I guess we did have dryers. You would hang your clothes on a line outside and let the wind beat them up a little bit, and you didn't have to put those synthetic fibers in the dryer in order to give it a soft appearance and maybe a different type of smell that you weren't used to. You'd get the fresh air smell from the outside as the wind beat them up and drying on the line. So good clothespins, as we say, held them in position and did an outstanding job. There is a lot to say for the basic operations of things of that nature. So appreciate that call very much. Getting back to some of the other things that we were talked about originally. In fact, I'm going to hold some of that until after our next break. We have John Couch with us today, our production engineer. Appreciate you being here, John, and your fine service, and we'll have you perform right now. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice Cerrone from A&E Manshaven. We are on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. So please give us a call with any questions or comments that you may have at 790-2040. That's 520, area code 790-2040. We've been discussing a little bit about activities going on at the store. We're talking about doors in this case and some locking systems, as well as putting glass in doors. Another project that we had in the past is putting a laminate surface on doors within the home. Many people have requested this, and even with different colors. So I was thinking here, if you happen to have several rooms and you have guests over periodically, or you're running a B&B or whatever it may happen to be, you can say, well, you need to go down the hallway to the blue door. So instead of painting it, you want to put a laminate surface on it, which gives you a tremendous washing capability, a cleaning capability. Bring the door down. We'll get some laminate, and we'll glue that right to the door for you, and you'll have a beautiful blue door or a green door or a red door, whatever it may happen to be. So we can accomplish things of that nature. We can make it stripe it if you want. We can make it look like granite at a very, very low cost. Speaking of laminate, we do countertops from that standpoint. And just as a reminder, A. Handyman's Haven for 2 years in running, 2017 and 2018, we've been chosen as the Reader's Choice Award for cabinets and countertops. This is because of our good service and our exquisite production during the fabrication process. Speaking of laminates, we can provide you 10 feet of laminate for $90. That's $9 a linear foot. That has an integrated backsplash included in it. We can do all the cutting for you. We can do all the edge banding if it needs to be accomplished. Some of the items that we accomplish are an additional cost, but all straight cuts are complimentary from that standpoint. That's much more cost-effective than any natural stone countertop that you may want to apply. It's also antimicrobial, which means it's non-porous, therefore it's stain-resistant and very easy to clean, and a very low-maintenance type countertop. So keep that in mind if you would like to change out your countertops and update it to some of the new fancy colors and designs that are available. Really speaking, the laminate is unlimited in colors and designs. We can put your famous picture that you may have of a scenery on the entire countertop, and then make on a piece of laminate, and then make that countertop for you in your own home. We can even do that laminate for your walls if you so desire. If you want a 4x8 picture of something, bring it down to us. We'll have it put on a piece of laminate, and we can have it framed for you, and you can hang it on your wall and have a beautiful picture of the Catalina Mountains, especially with the snow cover we just had lately. And people will wonder where you got that big mosaic that you have on your cabinet wall. When we talk about household doors as an example, one of the major controversies that we encompass many, many time periods is, how does a door swing? Is it a left-swinging door? Is it a right-swinging door? Whatever happened to be. Very few household doors swing vertically, unless they're roller-up type doors from that standpoint, but those doors don't swing. They just roll up. I have seen, though, rather unbelievable to me, but it must have been about a 100-foot wide door system, and the door did swing vertically in the up position, and it was like a garage door to a certain extent, but the entire door opened up and became horizontal to the earth's surface, provided a tremendous shade out in the parking lot, and it was unbelievable the amount of equipment that they had to have, the hydraulic power needed, the pumps and everything in order to operate the door. But it must have been about 20 feet tall. That's from floor to height, to the top of it, and about 100 feet wide. It was bigger than any door that I've even seen on a hangar situated out of any military installation that I've been associated with. So big doors. Anyway, when it comes to swinging of the door, it's not very difficult. If you put your back up to the hinges, and I don't care whether the door is open or whether the door is closed or partially open, but put your back up to the hinges and you can determine which way the door swings. Guess what? It only swings two directions, right or left. Sounds very simple to me. This is the way the old folks did back in the 1900s without this newfangled system that everybody has. And it really doesn't matter whether it's a commercial door system or whether it's a residential door system. So think about it that way when you come on down and you're interested in purchasing a door, because many times we have to know the swinging of the door in order to determine how to place the hinges and where to place the knob from that standpoint to open or close the door. Put your back up against the door, whether it's open or closed or swinging. If it swings to the right, it's a right-hand door. If it swings to the left, it's a left-hand door. Be careful when you go into any facility that sells doors and make sure you understand that the door you want to purchase is swinging the proper direction that you desire it to swing, not what it's labeled as from that standpoint. We did have a customer many years ago that was buying 8-foot solid core oak surface doors. And when I questioned him on the swinging of the doors, he says, "Don't worry about it. My contractor knows what he's doing, and this is what I want." I says, "Okay." So I had him sign a disclaimer concerning that the contractor provided the swinging of the doors and that they're responsible for any difficulties that they may have. And guess what, folks? You may have surmised. Every door was swung the wrong direction, and he had to buy all brand new doors or had to remortise all the wood doors and then patch up the hinge placements that so it worked properly. These were 8-foot tall doors, solid core, and it was just unbelievable. And the owner, the purchaser, could not figure out why they were all out of shape. I says, "Well, I did whatever you wanted, and that's the way it goes." So be careful. Back to back. There was another phraseology used in the olden days. I will refrain from using that, but put your back to back, and if it swings to the right, it's right. If it swings to the left, it is a left. So keep that in mind. Make life pretty simple for everybody involved. When we talk about glass indoors, we can also put glass in cabinet doors for you. So if you would like to update your style in your present kitchen, all you have to do is bring your cabinet doors down to us. We can show you all the glass that's available, or you could use even clear glass from that standpoint. We can even suggest where you can get some stained glass done if you happen to have some special designs that you may like, and they can be included in your cabinet door. So we've done this in the past with other customers who had stained glass or existing stained glass. They were modified in order to fit their cabinet doors, and it works out relatively easy from that standpoint. Another project that we started working on this past week is modifying a cabinet drawer because they've changed the countertops, and as a result of putting a new countertop on, it was a different construction than the other countertop that was removed, and as a result of that, the gas line that was in the back of the cabinetry is now interfering with the drawer box that is closing. And with all the questions that I needed to field in order to find out what needed to take place, it's become rather difficult and challenging from that standpoint. And some of the challenges are, in this case, is that the sides of the drawer box are made out of metal, and they also have a tubular steel as part of the ornamental design of the side of the drawer box instead of being out of wood, which is okay. The Bloom Company out of Austria sells what they call a beta box, which has a metal side. And those are a little more difficult to modify than a wooden box. Cutting that metal and trying to get it joined back together again. In this case, the tubular steel had interior threads, and they were threaded onto the side, to the front and back of the drawer box. Very elaborate, very customized and design-oriented. So we're working on this from this standpoint. The other complication that seems to be present is that the wall structure behind the cabinet is out of the bale construction. In other words, like hay bales or straw bales. Straw bales basically is what they use. So if anybody is out there is familiar with a straw bale construction homes that are plastered walls, I would appreciate a phone call either here at the studio or give us a call down at the store. Request me to talk about the construction techniques associated with the straw bale construction and basically how the electrical is run through the home in order to supply the proper electricity as well as the plumbing that is required for the gas lines or for the water lines or whatever it may happen to be. Because we do have a major conflict, and we're trying to sort through this in order to figure out how to modify the drawer box, or whether a customer or the customer needs to purchase a brand new drawer box with a brand new glide system from that standpoint. So give us a contact at the store at 520-624-7200 concerning straw bale construction of the home and how the utilities are being run throughout the house in order to provide the proper aspect of that. When we get involved with some other specialties, comes upon refacing of cabinets, and we do have something coming up at the present time where we're working with a customer on refacing of cabinets. This isn't the first time we've done it. Most cabinet companies are involved with the refacing materials, and what that really encompasses, I'll give you more discussion on this after our next break that's coming up, and we'll have Mr. John Couch, to please take it away. Now, welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice Cerrone, transmitting in the A. Handy Man's Haven Radio Studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. Please give us a call with any questions or comments that you may have here at the studio at 520-790-2040. We do have two locations, one in Tucson at 1724 South 6th Avenue, and we have another one in Green Valley at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas. Just before the break, we started talking about cabinetry and improving your area where you do have cabinetry, be it in your garage, be it in your kitchen, bathroom, workroom, commercial, residential, a library, etc. We have all the capability of designing the cabinets for that location. And one thing that always comes up is the refacing of cabinets and the true definition of refacing. The true definition of refacing of cabinetry is basically changing out the door and drawer fronts and then resurfacing the face frame, if you happen to have one, and go with it from that standpoint. If you want to repaint your cabinets, that's also refacing in the pure definition. You can restain them. You can take your present cabinetry, doors, and drawer fronts and do all that with it, or you can buy brand new styles from that standpoint. On your upper cabinets, you'll be doing the same thing, and with that, you do have an option of maybe putting glass, as I referred to earlier, within the cabinet doors to give a very different and very presentable look. One comment that I do receive periodically about glass in the upper cabinets, I have to keep everything neat. Well, that may be true. If you're a neatnik, so to speak, you have to keep everything neat. But the other advantage is if you visit someone's home, as an example, and you want to get yourself a glass for a glass of water, this is an example that I use most of the time. All you have to do is look through the glass and find the glasses and open up one door and you're done. You don't have to open up 15 doors that may be there. And then you have to say, well, where are you putting your glasses these days? And they may say, well, I'm putting them down in the base cabinet. So therefore you spend all that time looking for something that you don't even know where it's at. So when you do a kitchen remodel, and price comparison is a big thing associated with it, the typical kitchen remodel is going to start with the tear out of the existing kitchen. It's getting a designer involved, such as with A. Handyman's Haven, providing measurements or hiring us to come out and do the measuring for your kitchen. Discussing with you your positives and negatives of your present kitchen, and then we can try to eliminate those discrepancies in your future kitchen. Somebody has to haul away all the items that are there, or you can put them up for sale on Craigslist, or you can donate them to one of the philanthropic organizations in Tucson that accept used materials of that nature. Somebody has to pay to put them into the landfill. You can put the units for sale on Craigslist. Then the other thing that's normally considered is you may want to paint the walls. So it's always better to paint the walls if there's nothing in the way. You may need new lighting. So this is maybe punching holes in the ceiling and putting some can lighting or some pendant lighting in. You may want under cabinet lighting or under toe kick lighting, or toe kick lighting as we call it, or under counter lighting. All these can be placed in cabinetry. As an example, you can open up a door on a base cabinet and a light turns on. So you can power those today very economically by putting LED lighting systems in. LED lighting systems are powered by 12 volts DC power, which requires many transformers throughout the system. Can you imagine only using 2, 3, or 4 amps instead of using 60, 80 amps or whatever it may happen to be to power all your lighting systems in a home? Really reducing your electrical power consumption. You may want a new floor. Highly suggested you take the new floor all the way back to the wall structure and do not put the new floor in after you install your cabinets. Then you buy new cabinets. Then you have to get the new cabinets installed. You may want to move walls to open up your kitchen. And then there's many amenities that you may want to improve on, such as new appliances. And new appliances today are not economically priced from that standpoint. They can be more expensive. So when you add up all this operation to a kitchen remodel, then if you're only going to replace the doors and the drawer fronts on your kitchen, that's going to be less costly. But you have to agree within yourself that the efficiency of the present kitchen is what you want, that you do not want to go through all the remodeling construction associated with what I've just described to you from that standpoint, and you want to get in and get out. Is your house up for sale? That may be an important aspect of refacing, because you could reface as soon as you get the doors and the drawers in. You can probably do it in a couple of weeks and get your home back on a market right away for sale. We do have people that are involved with repainting your cabinets, and they'll repaint them right in their present location. They'll protect everything else that's within your home and get your cabinets repainted for you right in position and never remove anything. So refacing can be a lot less expensive than a total remodel. Another aspect is that you may just buy a home, but you don't like the presentation that the cabinets have, but you have a good countertop, you have good cabinet structure, but you just want to change the look of the cabinetry. So refacing may be an aspect to consider. The doors are and the drawer fronts are least costly, and if you do not have to touch the face frames of your cabinetry, this may be the most economical way of going. So keep that in mind. We can provide, we have provided for customers all the refacing aspects that are needed, all the materials, and sort of give you the instructions you need to proceed through the operation. Or we may be able to find some contractor that would like to get involved with the refacing operation. We have had a few in the past that have done that for many, many customers involved. One of the other things that I like to move on to at the present time is a female participation in the STEM activities that are going on, or the sciences. You know, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Many times we think that those types of projects are gender-oriented, and maybe in the past they have been. But anybody can get their hands dirty. Anybody can learn how to add 2 + 2 and come up with the answer 4. Anybody can learn how to analyze triangles and things of that nature. And when you learn the basic STEM operations that supposedly is being teaching in school, we didn't call it STEM when I was back in school, but we surely did have to take science. We surely had to take, you know, learn technology from that standpoint. We had to learn engineering concepts. We may not have thought about it from that way. And we did have to learn mathematics. Do you need to take calculus and differential equations and things of that nature? Not necessarily. Do you have to take heat transfer? Not necessarily. But some of those basic concepts that you take when you are in an engineering curriculum will be beneficial through you to you throughout your lifespan. And I can say from my experience as being educated as an engineer that I really use those things today most extensively and share everything I can with our employees so they can understand where they need to go when they're starting to design various aspects. Putting cabinets in location is a minimal part of the design capability that we designers have, but also understanding how cabinets function. And one term that I use quite frequently is that, why do you want cabinets in your home where you have to get on your hands and knees and a flashlight at nighttime to see what's in them? And that to me is probably the most undesirable aspect of a kitchen situation. I know in 1970 when I started designing kitchens, that was something that I deplored, and I sure was a lot younger in 1970 than I am today. Let's see, that's probably about 50 years ago, so I'll just let you figure out what my age may be at that time period. I no more wanted to get on my hands and knees on a concrete floor and a flashlight at nighttime to look for something that was in the back of a cabinet. So consequently, all the cabinets in my home, except for underneath the sink where all the plumbing has to be, they're all on drawer systems. Full extension glides where you can pull them all the way out to the front and look down in them and see what you have and then put them back in place. So keep that in mind when you are thinking about redesigning your kitchen and talking to us about various aspects of that standpoint. So it's good having the attributes of the feminine aspect of life in coloring and designing and what they may think and feel, their opinions at least, of what's important to them. Some of the funny things that's happened, I do know in designing a kitchen, the male and the female component were present, and it looked like the male component was the only one, I shouldn't say it looked like, the male component was the only one doing the discussion and the talking during the kitchen design. And I finally asked that person, I said, you know, how often do you cook in the kitchen? He says, oh, I never cook in the kitchen. And I'm thinking, oh, so you're making all the decisions for somebody that's doing the cooking in the kitchen. And he looked at me with a jaundiced-looking eye, so to speak. And I said, well, then you must do all the dishes. Oh, no, we don't do any dishes. And there was three sons in the home. And here the wife, the mother, the provider of all the fine food, had to work in a kitchen that was designed by someone who never worked in it. And from that standpoint, so at the end of about an hour and a half, 2 hours of discussion on the kitchen design, we finally came to a resolution of what he wanted. And as I provided the pricing and everything else for him, as they were leaving, the wife came up to me with a big smile on her face and said, thank you very much for everything that you did today. And I thought, boy, that's quite interesting. The male component does nothing except, I don't understand, he pays the bill and works hard for that, and I respect that immensely. But when somebody else works in a kitchen, that's like somebody coming in and telling me how to operate a table saw when they've never operated a table saw in their life, or a bandsaw, or a sander. That's not the way life goes, folks. So keep that in mind when you come in. And many times I'm bold enough to discuss this with you and talk to the person that may be involved. Well, we've completed our third segment, and John is getting a little anxious over there. So, John, please take it away on AM 1030, The Voice, with our trusted local news and talk.
Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. Transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. I am Maurice Cerrone from A. Handyman's Haven. We've been discussing various aspects of things for remodeling. Next thing I like to talk about is day lighting. That term sort of caught me by surprise when I saw that in looking and reading about the design details. And it comes to fruition here that the concept of using day lighting means using the common lighting that's in the atmosphere in order to light various aspects of your home
or commercial installation. I do know that when I put a new roof on my home back in the, when it was, about in the 70s, due to some leakage that we had. But in the process, after all that was completed, a couple years after that, I installed 7 skylights in my house. And today they don't leak, they work well. And the beauty part of it is, I should say the beauty part of it is, because as I walk by a bathroom or walk by various rooms, I think the lights, the incandescent lights at the time period are on, and I go in there and check, and it turns out that there is no lights on. It's the day lighting that's coming in through the skylight and developing the light. A tremendous savings on electrical power. The other thing I did back then is that I used basically what was called a 2x2 foot skylight. They are a dome light that goes up on a roof. They have insulated dome lenses available that could be mounted on them. And the beauty of that is that does deter a lot of transfer of heat, be it the cold or the actual sunlight or the sun heating that comes in. And so it's a 2x2 on the surface of the roof. But then in the home itself, I happen to have a gabled roof system on my home. I widened them out to either be 2x4s from that standpoint or even a 4x4. So when the light comes in, it's not a shaft-type light that comes directly down. I did recognize it many years ago that the little dust particles that float in the house, you can see that within the shaft lighting, be it a tubular shaft or be it a rectangular shaft. And that was something that I did not desire. So when I purchased the building of A. Handyman's Haven at 1724 South 6th Avenue and went into our remodeling extent, I added skylights to the various buildings on the single floor operation. We do have some double floor operations at the store also. But in that process, putting a 2x4 foot system in and increasing the amount of square footage of light was about 160 square feet of lighting that came in due to the sun, which really didn't cost me anything from that standpoint. So I have 2 buildings that are equipped with 20 skylights, as an example. And many times when you go out there in the daytime, it's bright enough out there where you can do anything that you need to accomplish from that standpoint, except, in my concern, the power equipment. So all our major floor-mounted power equipment is associated with increased lighting, and today they're all LED lightings from that standpoint to create low power. In fact, when we did an audit a couple of years back, when LED lighting first came out and we started transferring over, the auditors that came in and did the survey were unbelievably impressed that why we had such low power. And surprisingly enough, some of them couldn't figure out the reason why we had such low power, and that's because we're using skylight, providing daylighting. So whether you have existing situations with your roof or you're doing a brand new home construction, I would really have you think about putting skylights in those rooms that you're in and out quite frequently throughout the day. Now, I would not put them in the bedroom in case you want to take a nap. It may be pretty bright in there from that standpoint. But I think your living room or your kitchen, which is a high work area, or your bathrooms or entertainment rooms, I would not put them in a media room or in a movie room if you happen to have one. But garages and things of that nature would be an excellent place to put skylights in and utilize the daylighting that's available and reduce your electrical power consumption. And as a result of that, high insulation on your roofing sequence from your ceiling up to the roof itself is extremely important as far as power consumption goes, because 80% of your heat loss or heat gain throughout any home is vertical. It's not horizontal, folks. It's vertical. So if you're going to put extensive money into remodeling, if you have an option in order to accomplish that, I would highly insulate the area between your ceiling and your ceiling joists and your roof rafters. That in itself will definitely reduce the heat loss and the heat gain, especially in Arizona or even in the cold country when it comes to that standpoint. Very few people, if any at all, seem to insulate the roof rafters. We have had serious difficulties in water leaks and other type of activity because many times water is routed through the ceiling to get from one point to another point in the home. Today they're using PEX, which is a type of piping, which is extremely valuable from that standpoint. So keep that in mind when you're accomplishing reducing the electrical power consumption on your home. The next thing I'm going to talk about is operating rotating equipment such as miter saws, table saws, radial arm saws from that standpoint. The beginning person that's utilizing this type of power equipment needs to be aware of the accuracy that needs to be performed. And the accuracy I'm talking about is that when you use let's take a table saw as an example. When you use the fence, which is the guide that you would run a board up against as you're moving it through the rotating blade, needs to be absolutely in parallel with the saw blade. The saw blade that's mounted on an arbor, so to speak, which could be the shaft of the motor or it could be a pulley system, needs to be perpendicular to your fence. Now, some of those are pretty hard to adjust, but the fences are normally adjustable. So one needs to be very, very careful in making sure that the fence is absolutely parallel to the blade. You need to have a straight blade, too. You don't need to have a warp blade. That's not very good for your equipment from that standpoint or cutting wood. Radial arm saws, they're great for especially cross-cutting and things of that nature. And those are very, very important to make sure that the radial arm itself is perpendicular to the fence, because you're going to put your fence up against, or you put your wood up against the fence, and you're going to pull the blade through it, or even a miter saw or a chop saw. So that's extremely important in order to line things up that way. So those are things that need to be concerned, need to be very, very accurate. Because basically speaking, if you have a 1 degree error in 1 inch of span, you have a 1/32nd of an inch in dispersion on your cut. So if you have a 5-inch piece that you're cutting, you can have almost 1/4 inch dispersion from one end to the other. So keep that in mind, folks, when you're using brand new equipment. Check it out. Make sure it's accurate and is perfectly performing like you want it to. Well, we're coming to the end of our program, and it's been enjoyable being with you today. I hope you have a very fine weekend, and we'll see you next week.